Hey Siri, call James Jones.
Calling James Jones.
What?
Okay, I'm not sure it's working right. My phone.
So I'm already recording.
Because what?
I hit the record button before I asked Siri to call you. So you're recording right now. I'm not going to give you any time to warm up.
Oh, we're recording now. This is live.
It's happening right now. It's not live.
Okay. I'm going to say, I'm looking around the room. Like, I don't know what to do now.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Boundaries and Grace. My name is Taylor Chandler. I'm a licensed therapist and a coach. I help people detangle from toxic relationship patterns. And today I have James with me. Y'all have heard from James before. He's been on my Instagram feed several times when we did Mind and Muscle, because James is a body expert. He is a fitness industry professional. He is a medical fitness practitioner. He is the body guy. And he was also on season one and talked about healthy habits with me. So he is back because he heard and was admittedly triggered by me and Joy's episode in the first season, where we talked about the nice guy. And when I say we, I'm really talking about Joy, because I'm totally throwing Joy under the bus. And James has something to say about the nice guy. So listen in to this conversation, which sounds a lot like just a very normal conversation. It's not like an interview at all. James and I, you're going to see us really figuring out this concept together. So I hope that you like it. If you do, please take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. If you're on Spotify, download it. And I appreciate you. All right, y'all. I'll see you at the end. It's not streaming live. We are recording though. So I thought, why not just start it before and not let James warm up or me warm up? And
I like it.
So here we are diving in. Diving right in to James, can you tell us what we're talking about today?
Yeah. I like to follow your podcast. Typically, you talk about relationships, boundaries and grace in relationships, and you tend to bring up trauma quite a bit. And listening to the podcast, I enjoy the female perspective when it comes to dating or femininity, womanhood, whatever. I enjoy listening to it. It gives me perspective. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to a particular podcast, and the conversation came up about the nice guy. And I couldn't help but feel triggered or cued or mm-hmm. prompted to want to...
Did you say taunted? Taunted?
Prompted. No, prompted.
Oh, prompted. I was like, okay, I was hearing everything and I was like, okay, but let me just pause on this one, because that's might be a stretch. But because you're talking about Joy's podcast, right? So
yeah.
Joy Mitchell was on here talking about the nice guy. Yes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that conversation. I actually listened to it two or three times, I think, both parts. But again, like the conversation about the nice guy, just kind of, I felt compelled to share what courtship or dating may look like from the nice guy's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some, I don't know, just some thoughts. I'm not a therapist by any means, and you know that. I'm just a guy who's had experiences, and I've observed mm-hmm. From afar what women go through and what men go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to do the same thing. at least when it comes to the negative stuff, mm-hmm. or I guess that even that's objective. I don't know, but I wanted to share.
Yes, and And thank you for wanting to share. And I'm so glad that you are back on here. And people are, I get really good feedback about your episode about habits. So yeah. I'm glad that you're back.
You want me to go ahead and pay rent?
You want to, what? Did I hear pay? Did I hear?
You want me to pay rent? I got to like pay for my room and board for the show, right?
I was like, I'm thinking royalty check. Like, I'm like, am I getting paid or are you getting paid? You go one of two ways. I am really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this. You said a word already that stuck out to me, which was observant. And I just recorded an episode with Nick Hicks, who is a financial analyst who has really, really good perspectives on a lot of things that we've been talking about on this podcast. And so it's not going to air until I don't know when, but it's going to be really, really good. You're going to love it. And he's talking about men who lead, and something that I think was underlying a lot of what he was talking about was, and he never said this, but I think anybody that hears both you and him would see the commonality of being very observant. And I think that is kind of an underrated quality that, you know, using like, oh, like, what are the things that you want in a partner? And I think observant is a really, really good one that now that I'm saying it out loud to you, I'm like, I don't think anyone that has ever come up like in conversations about like what you're looking for in partnership. But I think that might be something important. Someone is texting me. Thought I put this thing on do not disturb. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, now that you mentioned it about you saying you didn't know you would lack that quality in a partner. I guess it's a compliment now. I've been told I'm observant by women I've dated in the past. And I thought it was normal. But, you know, maybe not.
You know, it's not. And I was talking to my friend Jess, who's also a therapist. I don't think you met Jess. I don't think you've ever met her. But have you? So, you know Jess?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, you would have known. You would have remembered this one. But so no, I don't think either. But we were talking about how observant we are, and literally had the same conversation last night about like so many people really don't sit back and think, you know, about why certain things happen or why people behave in certain ways. But that's why they have people like us to just observe and then spit it back out, because.
Yeah.
We all have different strengths and not everyone should be an observer. Where do you want to start? First of all, I'll start. I'll start because so you define yourself as a nice guy. Is that right?
Yeah, I define myself as a nice guy and I've been told I'm a nice guy.
And what is your definition of nice guy? Like what's your definition of it and what did you hear Joy say? The definition of nice guy was.
Ooh, good.
I know.
So I guess my definition would be, I'll just speak on my experience. The nice guy for me, or what my experience has been as the nice guy, has always been the one who kind of fits the mold of what most women want, but not to the point where they want me. That sounds so weird saying it out loud. But I'm usually around as a friend. You're like, you're so nice. You're so this and that. I wish other guys were like you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so that, based on my experience, that's how I define the nice guy. The one who is the ideal partner for whomever, whether it's male or female, but not 100%.
But not 100%? What does that mean?
Just for whatever reason, it doesn't fit the mold that they're looking for at that time.
Mm.
But they're always around, you know. The nice guy is usually around to I don't get ahead of myself, but almost like help clean up, be emotionally supportive, whatever. That's in a nutshell.
Mm.
based on my experience, that's what I would define as a nice guy.
It's a good definition. And what do you think Joy's definition of the nice guy was? I wasn't on the podcast.
right.
I'm putting it all on her. Okay. What did me and Joy. You? What did you hear us say? AKA Joy.
Yeah, so I heard you guys say there were two types of nice guys. There was one who does everything for everybody because he just wants somebody. So he's just kind of doing the most all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the nice guy who I don't want to misquote it. I'm going to end up paraphrasing.
Go ahead. I'll correct if it's a misquote. I was there.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, there's the overcompensated guy. Then there's the one who isn't overbearing, but he's just dry. He's just,
We did overcompensated.
He said dry. I remember that.
Were we talking about men or women? But because I remember something about like flat or dry or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay, I missed the last question. I'm off track. Okay, can you repeat that last part about the overcompensation, please? Like, help me to.
So I couldn't remember if you guys described the nice guy who does everything.
Mm-hmm.
You just want somebody as the overcompensating nice guy, or if the one who is just dry, like he's the ideal man or partner or whatever, but dry. And mm-hmm. I only think, man, we're talking the hetero sense, since you're talking about the female perspective, and so we'll talk about the male's perspective. The hetero, he's just dry. That's what I heard.
Just dry. So the one who's doing it for whoever, because there's no filter, there's no categorizing, there's no criteria for who gets the niceness, because they just really want a response. And
right.
And then the other type that this is, I think maybe the way that it's sometimes described, and tell me if this is correct, if we're saying the same thing. Are you saying it's kind of like saying that someone looks really good on paper, but there's maybe not like the chemistry between the two people? Is that this?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, on paper, I would say. I think that's, and maybe that's what I was describing at first. You know, it's a nice guy who would be ideally first the partner or the person that someone wants, but there's just something missing.
So that's kind of like this, like the first question that we're going to get into. Why is that? Like, this is like the question of our times. Okay, that's really dramatic. That's really dramatic. You don't have to co-sign that, James. You really don't have to come on board.
I'm here for the dramatic. No, I want to be as entertaining as all of your other conversations about relationships. I'm always talking about health and wellness. I've never had this conversation before.
Yeah,
I want to be as entertaining as.
Okay, I do appreciate that you were ready to just jump on board. Like, you were like, yeah. I'm like, no, wait. I might have reached. But it is a question that, like, we have all, I think, had kind of a conversation like that before. I've had many conversations like that before. Kind of just honestly wondering about it, like, curious about what do you think that it is? Like, it's that lack of, okay, so maybe you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, maybe kind of answering. Let me offer a partial answer to this. Like, is it unappealing because you know what, James, you go first. Why is it unappealing? Like, why would someone be able to like see this all on paper? You know, like metaphorically speaking, like everything is cool and good, nice guy, respectful, but what is that missing thing, do you think?
I don't think the missing thing is from, and again, we're just going to speak about the nice guy. I don't think the missing thing is him. Mm-hmm. I think it might be mm-hmm. something that's stopping the, mm-hmm. we're talking about the hetero sense here, so something that's stopping the female from acknowledging it, I guess. I don't, and it's not to say that every nice guy that every woman meets is supposed to be, you know, her partner for a certain amount of time, whatever season. But if there are instances or occurrences where, you know, there's flirting or there could be something, but there isn't, I don't think, and the nice guy's like, you know, giving the effort and maybe he wants to take it a step further. I don't know if that would be, if the thing that makes him unappealing is his issue, if that makes sense. And that's just my opinion, you know?
Let me tell you. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe it's something traumatic in the family. Maybe it's something from a past relationship. I don't know. I think that's something that has to be discovered subjectively versus looking at somebody else.
Let me ask my audience of women what they think about that. Women, James said that it's probably because you have some unresolved issues in your past. And that's like why. Wait a second, James. That's what you said in a paraphrase. James said there must be, or there might be. So let me correct myself. There might be some unresolved issues in the past, which is causing you to reject the nice guy. Ladies, what do you think?
Those crickets, I love it.
Okay. I just had to use my button. I have a button for that.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Okay. So, but no, you're actually totally like on track. So let's leave that as one possibility. And I appreciate that you made it a possibility and not like a certainty, because it may or may not be true for someone. But I'm going to give you a female perspective let me give you a perspective of a woman who that does not apply to. Like, if that criteria does not fit, like, let's say she has gone through her personal work, however she went through it, and the triggers have been identified, the therapy has been had, the journaling has been journaled, okay? Like, she's, like, receptive to healthy relationship, okay? She's that one.
Right.
So in a woman like that, her case, or a woman who is becoming that, and separating from the identity of someone who is defined by their past trauma. Ooh, that was a smooth sentence, by the way. I just want to point that out. Yeah, Thank you. I also have a button for applause. So.
I was getting ready to say, push that button.
Yeah, there's that. So, but for a woman like that is in that category, I would say that what could be potentially missing from the nice guy in the dynamic between her and a nice guy is the sexual piece.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So, like, let me give you the concept behind it before I get into like the details of it. Okay, so zoom out. And something that is true is that intimacy is built with space. Mystery and novelty invites passion and intimacy. Okay. So if nice guy has made himself too close, okay, like we're sharing secrets and eating ice cream, watching The Bachelorette, and
he's a girlfriend now.
Right, so you have become very close, and when you eliminate mystery between you and a person, then sex doesn't exist in that space.
Yeah.
So I think that might have, I think that could be misconstrued though. Like, it's not like you should like be looking for ways to like be like, you know, like shady, just to like serious. Keep it exciting. Like, that's not what I'm
be
saying.
Aloof. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what it is. But can we not say that, like, okay, if someone is always available, like every time you call, they're just ready to, you know, they're at your beck and call, like, and they, like, you always know what's going on. You know what they have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all the condiments that they use that day. Like, it's just, you know it all. Then when you're together, there's nothing to, like, know. Like, the humans get excited by finding things out, figuring things out. Even if it's just, how was your day? I haven't talked to you for 12 hours. That's still finding something out. And there's, like, an excitement about that. And that exists in a healthy long-term relationship or a short-term relationship, whatever, a healthy relationship. Like, where you're finding things out along the way, even though you do have a lot of time together, there's still space apart, and intimacy grows in that, and passion grows in that space. So I think that for those, this is just a possibility for those people that don't identify with having some, like, unresolved trauma, that there could, it could just be that, like, someone has been too close to you and you can't really, like,
no, you're absolutely right. I think that that's, you know, one guy just doing the most, you know, wanting to be everything for someone. And the only question that I would have in response to that is, if there is, like, some sort of physical or, like, emotional flirtation happening, which would make the nice guy think there's a chance. If there's not, and the nice guy's just doing all this stuff, then yeah, you know, I definitely would agree for sure. If there's any inkling of flirtatious touching or kissing or something that would make someone think, or leading on, I guess. I think that's where my comment comes into play, I suppose. Because you're right. Like, if there's no mystery, dude, you're doing too much. What are you doing? Slow down, man.
Yeah. And that goes on both sides, too. But again, like, we're talking about the male.
It does, yeah.
But, okay, I definitely see where you're coming from. Because if there is, like, I guess to put it simply, like, someone feels they're led on. Like, someone feels like there's a chance. Because...
Right.
If the woman is, like, doing things like you know, exactly what you just described, but then feels that this isn't someone that I want to actually partner with, yes, I can definitely see. I can see what you mean. Like, when it's like, okay, we can go this far, we can go out together, but I don't want to commit to you. I don't want to be in a partnership with you.
Yeah,
I think that it's definitely necessary to then take a step back and say, okay, like, it's probably not everybody else every single time. I think, like, when you just start there, like, you don't even have to get too deep with it, but if you can just start with understanding that it's not everybody else every single time, like, then, you know, you open up some space for, like, the possibility that there might be something that is preventing you from stepping into, like, a safe place. So, like, what you're saying, you know, if someone doesn't have an experience with or has explored what it feels like to be in a safe relationship, then when that experience does come up, then and again, from this perspective, we're saying that it's possible that you are sabotaging it, essentially, because you just don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the only reason I think I bring this up is because that was me for a season. My 20s, I think 22 to 28 or whatever, I was both the nice guy. And then I'm not going to say I was the polar opposite of that. I tried to be, and I failed miserably. I can't just be like, I can't be the aloof, mysterious, hard to get person. That's never been me. I never could do that. But having been that nice guy who, you know, I hadn't experienced for a certain season, and, That's the only reason I had that comment, I guess.
So
three years.
3 years of being the nice guy. What did it feel like to be like, did you find that you were the emotional reinforcer for people who maybe were like,
Yeah, but not in the sense where it was like emotionally reinforcing heartbreak from like, you know,
like the last guy.
Someone else. Yeah, it wasn't anything like that. It was more so emotional support for a season of time. So whether it's working, whether it's grad school, whether it's mm-hmm. finding a job or moving or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's during that season, that's what I was.
And what did it feel like for you to like be playing that role in someone's life and be passed on?
Yeah, I honestly, as a man, I had this conversation with myself. I felt like I lost my integrity as a man. And, you know, that's whether, yeah, we'll say it like that. I lost my integrity as a man. Mm-hmm. And I would say I was just waiting, being persistent, whatever, I don't know. Mm-hmm. To me, the door was never closed during mm-hmm. that season. Like I said, this was 3 years. And it was, and I, you know, I understand, I think you and Joy had this conversation about a guy setting the intention beforehand, but the girl may be hoping that things change down the road or bring the conversation back up. And when y'all had that conversation, I related to it because that was my experience for a moment, except the intention wasn't set completely. Like the boundary wasn't completely there. It was not right now.
Yes. Not right now.
Mm. Right. So to me, it, you know, it goes back to that Dumb and Dumber quote. You see, tell me there's a chance. And I'll just, you know, I'll just hang around until then. And that was just my experience, you know. Then I try one last time in this certain situation, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, well, that's it. I have to walk away because I'm losing myself to this never-ending chase because of my idealism for one and mm-hmm. persistence for another.
Mm. But also, can I like throw you another lifeline on that one?
Okay.
I appreciate you like taking accountability though, but I'm going to throw in that you had real reason to believe that something could happen. Like you were being kept in like, it sounds like a close affiliation with this person.
Yeah. I would say so.
So then years. Like,
yep, it was a,
which isn't, that's a period of time. So you were green lights or at least yellow lights. Like you weren't getting a red light. So.
No. Right. No red light. Which, so, and I, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy this podcast so much. The first word is boundaries. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. from that experience, and I had an experience after that as well, where I was basically her in that following relationship, and I hated being that person. Where I started to set clear boundaries from that point forward, you know, because I felt a certain way, and then I made someone feel the way that I felt based on that trauma, you know? And so the boundary, there had to be intention on my part when it came to the boundaries I set for myself dating.
What were some of the boundaries that you felt were important?
Well, for one, I believe that I could tell if there was going to be something long-term within a couple months, you know? And that's not saying we're doing something every day, dating every day, whatever. That just tended to be the what happened. You know, and it was just something. I'm not gonna leave someone on. I did that for a little too long, and when I realized I was doing what had been done to me, I stopped it. I wanted to stop it immediately, and I set that boundary. I would never do that again. Mm-hmm. I know how it felt, and I know what it looked like. I'd make someone feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And so one of the boundaries I started setting up was just, I knew myself enough to know when something was only going to last for a season and not to force it because it looks good on paper. Hmm. Or, you know, for one reason or another.
Yeah. Where you know, like, some of the things that are kind of like deal breakers or like, which are boundaries, they're just like our more intense ones. Things like that where you're like, okay, these are things that are just incompatible. Like, it's not something that I'm going to negotiate on. And so if someone shows up in my life in this way, then I already know that it's just not going to, like, pan out.
Yeah.
Because you already know yourself. When you
and that's
have,
not saying that. I was going to say, that's not saying they're not good women. It just meant that we were not compatible. And I wasn't going to allow the thing between us to be forced. So they're great women, you know? A lot of those, a lot sounds like I was doing a lot, but let's just say, you know, the experiences that I had, they're great women. We just, you know, we weren't compatible during that season. So the boundary was set, you know, in order to not lead you on and not to, you know, do to someone what I had done before and what hadn't done to me, I had to call it.
What boundaries when you were in that role of the nice guy, what were the boundaries that you feel you did not have between you and anyone that you played that role with?
Yeah. What boundaries did I not have?
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest one that I now respond to, or I now set, is having a clear end or a clear no or a clear whatever. You know, if I know it's not going to work, but there's someone who's persistent enough to keep coming after me, I wish someone had told me no instead of not right now.
So a boundary that would have been helpful for you as the nice guy would have been, we can't continue to maybe like see each other in certain ways or communicate in certain ways unless I have a yes, this is this type of relationship. Or no, it's not. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Cause I think there are some relationships that just can't become platonic from that point. And I think that's the responsibility of the two people in that party.
Okay. So are you implying that you've already had sex? I'm not asking about your particular situation. I'm saying like in general, are you assuming that the nice guy has had sex with this person? Because you just said platonic.
No.
So I'm just wondering. Okay. So what do you mean?
Right.
Then?
No. There's no assumption. I guess the flirtatious thing. The almost
okay.
innocent.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So like the window.
Oh, yeah. No. Right. You just know the apple pie bacon. It might be on the window sill, but it's just cracked a little bit.
A pot of bacon?
Apple pie bacon.
Oh. Why am I not hearing? I don't know why I'm...
I may want a pot of bacon. That sounds delicious.
Like a pot of bacon in the window. Okay. All right. I was really focused for a long time. And now I'm back.
Yeah.
Now I'm just... I just derailed myself. You were saying when you said platonic, you mean that like it's difficult for some people to like reverse out of that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's, like I said, that's excluding any sexual intimacy or whatever. That's a whole different story, I think.
It is. It's
but
literally a whole different
excluding
story.
Excluding that. Yeah.
Could be. But sometimes anyway, nope, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. I am not going down the rabbit hole. Okay, so that was a boundary that's helpful for like a nice guy. So a woman who is dealing with a nice guy, and maybe I should reword that, because sometimes when I say dealing with, I mean like kind of dating. A woman who has a nice guy friend, right, who she knows is interested. Wait, that's who she knows he is interested in her, like romantically interested. Does she have a responsibility to define boundaries if she does not have any feel like she's not interested at all? From the nice guy perspective, okay, like I want you to go back into that James, like into that version of you. Would you feel as the nice guy that she is responsible for setting some kind of boundaries? And I don't mean, and again, James, I'm going to remind you, because sometimes you like to come back into like your more conscious self, and I want you to be like your past self, like fully to answer this question.
Yes. Yeah. So back in the day, probably 10 years ago, I probably would have said yes, but with a caveat. Today, I would say no, it's not her responsibility.
See, there you go. You just did it. I just want to highlight that you literally just did it.
You said don't do that.
Just be old James, because we need to, we're talking about the nice guy. I don't need to know about all your healthy boundaries, all your awakened revelations. Okay?
All the growth that's happened.
We have so much time for that. Like, we want the toxic shit. Okay. So reel it back. All right. Scene.
You want the toxicity. Yeah. Like when I was younger, it's like 10 years ago, I think there's a level of respect that would be given, like if you like having this nice guy around, and you know he's into you, and let me not put on that rabbit hole yet. You know he's into you. I would say there is a level of responsibility for the friendship, because you do like having this guy around, to let him know, hey, you know, this isn't going to be something. You know, I'm not interested. I can, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. Female talking to the male, that is. I personally, 10 years ago, I would have liked that, which has now set me to where it's not her responsibility, it's not the man's responsibility to set the boundary, but it's a courtesy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you know that somebody is just like, you know, I if you're taking advantage of someone, like, let me not play with it. I'm not going to beat around the bush. If you know that you're taking advantage of someone, like, they want to take you out to eat, they want to buy you stuff, it's your birthday, you're doing boop, 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 like, and you're just, yes, receiving all of that, like, I have a personal issue with that. Not only, like, professionally, as, like, okay, you should have, like, boundaries as a person, as to, like, what you will receive or not, like, that's a objectively healthy thing to have. But personally, that really bothers me. It's probably because I'm slightly triggered. So whatever.
me too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, people come in and take it all your shit.
That was a rabbit hole I didn't want to go down, but you did it.
So. Okay. Well, now we're in it. So what else have you found in here? Like, if you're letting someone, just because you are letting them do it, right? Like, not that, well, yeah, right. You know what? Because, look, you see, I feel I'm getting heated because, you know, people are out here on bullshit. Because I've said this bullshit too. Like, you know, like, oh, I didn't ask for this. Like, oh, he's just doing it. Oh, I didn't know. Like, he never brought it up. So, like, why would I, come on. Like, we're all adults, chronologically speaking. Now, some of us have some growing up to do. Okay.
Right.
Now, this is a really good, let me come into my therapy voice really quick, my fake therapy voice, so that someone can receive this. Okay. So here we are. How to say this gently for you. Stop it. Grow the fuck up. Honestly, grow up. Because if you are out here with your hand out, Because that's honestly, I'm coming into your ass about it. Not you, James. I'm coming into somebody's ass about it because someone needed to get in my ass about it. And some people did, you know, but someone really should have just gotten up in my ass and said, stop walking around Atlanta like you like you can't do like you're over here just collecting dinners. You're over here just collecting experiences because you want to have the experience and you're being selfish, period, period. You're really just thinking about yourself and then you want to flex or whatever, maybe for your little boomerang, because I used to be the boomerang queen at dinner, okay? And you're just walking around collecting experiences and it's very, very selfish when you know that what someone's intentions are. I do think that is a very mature courtesy to go ahead and have the conversation, or if you don't have the conversation, just stop receiving things from someone with kind of like ill intent. I mean, that might be an aggressive way to say it, but I mean, you're only thinking about yourself, so.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, let me interject. And again, we're talking about the hetero here. It goes for male and female. You know, it's not just talking to whomever, but
for sure,
that's not one sex. That's both, because men do it too. It's just for men, it tends to look like sex. You know, receiving that. And
yeah, you kind of faded out again a little bit. Can you repeat that so we can hear it? What'd you say?
Well, I was just saying that
it looks like what?
Therapist message. That you gave everyone for male and female. The only thing is, I think maybe this is wrong, I don't know, this is my observation. Mm-hmm. The handout tends to look emotional for females and then sexual for men. And so men, if they know someone's into them, will use up that sexual button until they're done with it. And even if they have no intention on staying with this woman, and a lot of times, after that woman's moved on, and found someone who treats her well, treats her nice, they come back. And that's the toxicity that I'm sure, you know, people have experienced and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You mean like when the guy doubles back and when it's like, yeah, someone can smell that somebody's happy and then they go and DM you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. Where to go from here?
I mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. When it came to, I guess, boundaries and understanding when a season is a season. When mm-hmm. it comes to knowing yourself enough, and it doesn't happen all at once. It takes time. Let's just call it growth. But know yourself enough to know when someone isn't for you, or you're not abusing their presence, you know. But conversely, I'm gonna see if I can word this the right way. And again, this is just my opinion. It's based on my observations, based on the conversations I've had with people, men and women. When a season has gone on too long, and you know, there's no clear indication of a future, I guess, and then, you know, the breakup involved. Mm-hmm. And I tend to hear this mostly as wasted time. And you know how I feel about time and failure. And my thought when it comes to wasting time, when it comes to dating particularly, and this is my opinion, it's my thought, my observation, wasted time isn't wasted time unless you didn't learn anything. And so if you spent X amount of days, weeks, months, years on someone and the outcome isn't what you desired, and then the reaction, not response, the reaction is, I wasted so much time, blah, blah, blah. I would pose that if you repeat the same cycle, then you probably wasted your time. If you learn something, the experience, and this comes with a little bit of growth and self-awareness, I think, but if you've learned something in the process, then you didn't waste any time. It was just a learning experience. And, you know, it sucks. I think we've all been through it. And it's not just dating. We just happen to be talking about dating right now. Courtship. But I don't believe in wasted time. And this is my personal opinion.
Okay. Hear all that? Don't know what it has to do with the good guy, though. I don't.
I don't know. Yeah, that was just okay.
I found the soapbox and stood on it. You know what? And I still liked it. Okay, I still liked it. Can't connect it quite right in this moment.
Let me
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let me try this then, because I think I've been both the good guy and I've been the one that's let someone on. And then I came back around to maybe I was a good guy, maybe I wasn't. A nice guy, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think someone may have said they wasted time on me, even though, you know, there was a clear point. It wasn't very long, it was only a couple months. But, you know, it was a clear point at which me as a nice guy set a boundary. You know, I removed myself from the situation. And I didn't feel like I wasted time. Again, it's subjective. But they may have felt they wasted time. And, you know, maybe that's just, am I reaching? I'm trying to connect it to.
You know what? I'm going to come in. I'm coming in with my lifeboat. Coming in. Zoom, zoom. I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. We are going to ride this point out, okay? So here's what I hear you saying, James. I hear you saying that when it comes to the nice guy, like if you find yourself maybe being the nice girl or the nice guy in a relationship, that not to like resent that time spent, because when you do take an aerial view, there are so many things that you learn. And one of the most important things is something that you've highlighted really well, which is the boundaries that you need to put in place. Because sometimes, actually most of the time, you do have to know where things hurt in order to know where you need boundaries and where you need a little bit of extra work. Mm-hmm. How's that, James? That did we come out of it? Are we out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, let me just say this. you made it so poignant and so, like, you said it so eloquently. Clearly, I'm not a therapist. You just speak.
We use different I'm brains. Just a dude we that, use different brains all day. You're in the left and I'm in the right, I think, for most of
it. But no, you said it. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. And again, like you said, speaking for both sexes, men and female, when it comes to their experiences and stuff. Learn how to move on from there. Now what?
Now what? That we have gotten ourselves out of that detour that we took down one road, and now we're back looking for the main road. We don't know where to turn. Okay, we don't know where to turn. We're in a place that doesn't have signal. Can't pull it up. So now we're just driving. Okay, so let's just driving, and that's okay. And that's okay. Let's talk about, let me ask you this, because I do think that it relates. And I actually, this question had come to my mind yesterday when I was having a conversation with a man about just some emotion stuff, like emotions. And we just had a really, really good conversation. And I want to ask you, what is necessary? Let's talk about platonic relationships, right? Because I do talk about all different kinds of relationships. I talk about relationships as a whole, but all different kinds of them. And a lot of things that we're talking about, the principles apply to any type of relationship. It's just that, like, in this particular conversation between me and you, James, we really have been talking about romantic relationships. But like, boundaries are important, of course, across the board. Let's talk about, like, in platonic relationships with heterosexual opposite gender friendships, like me and you, even though I don't actually identify as heterosexual. So let's say like this, in cases like a male female relationship, that's true. Okay, so in a case like a male and female relationship that exists between two friends like me and you, what are some like important things? First of all, it's just proof that it exists. Like, you can have friends of the opposite gender. Like, it's okay. Like, it's possible in adulthood. It is possible. But I'd want to know what you think about like boundaries with that. Like, if you have two opposite gender friends who hang out like friends do, there things that anyone who's listening would be able to like take away as like, okay, they either in a relationship but they want to maintain their opposite gender friendship and that's okay, but if you are in a relationship and you have an opposite gender friend, what are like things that are important for the person that's in the relate, like their partner, to know about their friendship? Like, and then does it affect the opposite gender friendship? Does that question make sense?
No, I get it. Yeah, I'm thinking, okay. Because it's I definitely get it. I mean, I live it, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a very healthy platonic relationship with females. I love my girlfriend, and I definitely let her know very early on, probably when we first started talking, that I do have healthy platonic relationships. And so I'll speak from that perspective, because it's, you know, it's my experience, and I'm allowed to have that experience.
Yes, so, you are, James. Be empowered. Be empowered. Right.
So, let's start with the relationship, excluding the platonic friend. Let's say the one in the middle is the man. It's the guy.
Right.
The guy.
That's the mutual person in common.
Right. The mutual party. For his partner, his woman, to fully trust the friendship, I think he has to make it very clear the boundary set on the friendship side. I'll put myself in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be, I guess, overly emotionally available. Beck and call kind of thing. That's a good question.
I know. I'm totally listening to you, and I'm also thinking. I'm also thinking a little bit.
I pride myself on having the type of relationships and being able to successfully have those while in a romantic relationship. I don't know if I've ever thought about what I do aside from setting boundaries. Like, there's a clear, for one, I'm not attracted to any of my platonic friendships. I think that has to be the case. Any woman that I've had a friendship with in the past who I was sexually attracted to, I had to cut off. That's non-negotiable for me. Mm-hmm. And so they can be attractive women. I'm just not sexually attracted to them either, you know, at all or anymore or whatever the case may be. I think that's a non-negotiable, because there's too much space for something to happen.
So do you have, I'm not going to ask. This is kind of a personal question. It's not that personal. Well, in my opinion, I'm going to try it anyway. So when you entered into a relationship, if there was a person that you were at that time, okay, so let me start here. At the time that you entered into the relationship, were you already unfriended with anyone that you were sexually attracted to? Or did you have to actively consciously change those relationships once you entered into the relationship? Your romantic
partner. Yeah. it was a, I would say it was a conscious effort. And, yeah, either, and I think it happened one of two ways, where it was either disconnection, it's like, hey, you know, I'm in this relationship now, and I just can't continue to have this platonic friendship, or there was a sort of objectivity to where the sexual attraction just went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a, you know me, I'm a very objective person. So for me, that's not hard, the latter part. I mean, either one's not hard, honestly, for myself. And that's just, that's me because of my experiences and my objectivity. I don't know.
Did you say your what? Your fertility?
My objectivity.
Oh, God. It just keeps happening.
So just so everyone knows, I'm a huge mumbler, apparently. And I just think so fast, my lips can't keep up. And so words just become it's cramming. Like, it's like a really tight space.
But you know how, like, it's... I guess it's a really... just a really small hole. But you know how you hear a word incorrectly, but it's based off of whatever you're talking about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just think that that's like funny, because like I wouldn't have heard fertility in like another conversation. You know. Anyway, it's just brain shit. Just neurology. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
No, that's a good question. Because, like, I really appreciate that question.
Or you're welcome. I don't know which one to say. I have a lot of platonic opposite gender friends. I've always had a lot of guy friends, but I was a huge tomboy growing up. So I had all guy friends for a long time. And then things like changed when I turned about 13, which is like normal, like just hormones and shit, you know, like things changed. But I just have always gotten along well with guys or whatever. But one thing that I think I failed to do that now I have to be very conscious of is setting those clear boundaries, because I used to try to get away with being like, oh, like I've always had a lot of guy friends. Like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do it. I don't have to change anything because we're together. And that's not true. Yeah. And it's really disrespectful. Right. Like, it was really disrespectful. And for any of my exes listening, I get it. And I apologize to you publicly. I would tag you, but you probably blocked me. Anyway, that's not the point. It's not the point, guys. Stay focused. Everyone stay focused. What I'm saying is that that's really important. I think from the outset to say, like, because I know that that's true for me, that I have good guy friends. That's mm-hmm. something that is important for me to share early on. Like, it's not something that like, oh, I need to wait 3 dates to tell you I have guy friends. That would be weirder for me. Like, I feel like it's right away. I mean, you know, I don't lead with it, but like, you know, it's not something also that like I wait to reveal, because that's shady. But it's something that's just like a normal, like, fact, I think, about me. So if I'm dating a man, then it's important for me personally to share that, not only to be honest, but also to gauge the reaction, because that's also important. Someone that had, like, if you do find yourself being the nice guy or the nice girl, and you have those opposite gender, nice guy, nice girl friends, then, lost my train of thought. It just totally went away. Something really powerful, guys. Something really powerful, I'm sure.
I hope you find it. Yeah, I was sitting on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, like, it was just so big, I just couldn't. I'm going to edit that line out, because that wasn't a good line. Not a great line. Not a great line. I'm not doing great in this last 30 seconds. So I'm going to take a breath. Okay.
Deep breath.
All right. To gauge the reaction. Look, There we go. See what mindfulness will do for you to, to see the interaction, the reaction of the other person. Because if you find yourself being like someone like me or like James, who has those kinds of friendships, then it is, for me, imperative to have someone who can respect that. Like anyone who would suggest that I remove my male friends would be really problematic, because my male friends are very healthy. So it's not like a weird situation. Mm-hmm. So that would be very strange for someone to want that to not exist for me, because it's a healthy part of my life. So I share that kind of thing with someone early so that we're all on the same page. Yes. And then I think, like, at this point, now that my boundaries are better, don't have weird interactions with, like I think before, it is kind of, it's just being sneaky, like not telling people what's really going on, like not telling someone you're dating, or not telling a male friend that isn't the nice guy, but is actually, or is the nice guy, but is interested. Like, so a male friend who is interested, like not being upfront about what your real situation is. It's just being sneaky. And again, it's just like, it's taking from people things that you really don't like deserve to have from them, because you're tied up with someone else. So when I finally matured, that was like my favorite thing to do, was get people on the same page, because it just made everything so easy. Like, you don't have to lie. Like, you don't have to pretend like something's not. Like, I think I was downplaying. I think I'm just admitting shit at this point. I feel like we just took off. I'm in a confessional. I'm like, what am I sharing with these people? I'm like, who am I implicating? It is a very honest conversation. I feel very open right now. But I'll continue that. I'll continue the sentence. I think I was downplaying situations with people who I knew were interested. I know that I was downplaying situations and whole relationships with people that I was, shut up, James, with people that I was dating or like in a quote unquote relationship. Cause how real is it when like you're lying about it? That's what you're doing if you're not telling someone like the whole truth. It's kind of a lie. It is a lie. Yeah. So I think I was doing that. Here's a vulnerable moment for you, James, since you fucking want it so bad. For me, that was coming out of a fear of not being chosen. So collecting people that were choosing me, but my reality, oh Lord, here we go. I'm all the way in my heart now. Yeah. My reality was that I was not like deserving of being, but I wasn't thinking in that language at the time. You know, it's like you're just acting and reacting and behaving and not conscious of it. So, but now looking back at it, I can say that that was the belief that I had, was that I wasn't good enough. So I was collecting people who would reinforce the idea that I was good enough, but I wasn't fully believing that. So all that is like, you know, people say it's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. That's what that is. It's like, okay, I'm going to like collect this date over here, and I'm going to talk to you after, I'm going to talk to this other person after the date, and I'm giving away all of them, see all these secrets. So, and then tomorrow I have a reservation with him over here, but that's not cool. It's not cool, period. Like for people who like desire that kind of experience, that kind of like thing, I get it. And I came to Atlanta and I was single and out of college and I was living my fucking life. So I am okay with that. I'm okay with that, with me living my life. Like I have I don't have any shame about that. It's just saying that I am not that person anymore. Like I own these things. Right. I accept that this was a part of me and a significant part of the journey of getting to this point. But at that time, still, even though it's okay to live your fucking life and date who you want to date and fuck who you want to fuck, it's totally your thing. Doesn't mean that I was in a good place regardless. Like it still means I wasn't in a good place. regardless of like my ability to be able to make whatever decisions I want to, the truth is that still both of those things are true is what I'm saying. I was living my life and I was not in a good place. They both existed at the same time. So I was, acting out of a place of lack and trying to fill myself up superficially. So that's the result. Mm-hmm. That's what was happening. And it's not cool at all to do that. So,
I appreciate that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I reciprocate it. That's kind of very, very PC. But, you know, like you said, I think it's not, I'm going to say this as best I can. It's not wrong to live your life, whatever. All your experiences culminate in you being the next version of you once you've learned, once you've grown.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's, it's so, it's like ironic almost saying this, but I don't think there's anything wrong with living your life. I think the only thing wrong with doing that is not learning from it. Like not understanding that that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. This is, I think most people do it, you know? So, like I said, the vulnerability was appreciated. I know everyone else listening appreciates it. I reciprocate it. I know I've had my experiences as well. And so, yeah, a little honest conversation.
Yeah. It feels like we're just on the phone, like we're not recording and about to release this thing.
right.
I was just really encourage anybody who, like, does kind of identify with that kind of thing to, get help, okay? It's not, you just don't have to live that way. And it's not fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's not cute on either side. Like, and guys will have you, the world wants you, oh Lord, I'm about to get on the, let me get on my soapbox, James. Give me one second, okay? The
you
world, oh, I got one. The world, the society would have you believe that men fuck around and are not affected. And that is another tool of patriarchy and misogyny to make women double ashamed of how they feel about doing the exact same behaviors. Okay. Let me repeat that because I want somebody to get it. The world will have you believe that men are not affected by the same behaviors that I just described to you that I did. Okay. And it's not true. It's another tool of patriarchy and misogyny to double shame women. Okay. So you already maybe felt a way about something that you did or the way that you were, or maybe you feel guilt about, like James was talking about earlier, wasting time doing things like that. Okay. Or just fucking around with people you shouldn't be fucking around with. Okay. 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 And then to double up on that shame or guilt, the world feeds you the idea that men just do it and are unaffected and are so cool and hard and tough about it that it doesn't matter to them. And I'm telling you, it does. And if you're a man listening to this, I'm telling you, it does. And if you're a woman listening to this, I'm telling you, it does. It does. It affects them too. And I just think it's really important for us to remember that, because one, I don't want women walking away with feeling like this victim feeling of like, oh, I have so much to work through, and guys just have, it's just not true. Like, guys have to heal from the same types of wounds. They might have gotten them in a different way, but the pain in them is the same. And so I just felt the need to get on that soapbox, and that's that. Okay. I don't even remember why I even did that. So okay.
I don't know, but I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it had to be said.
Thank you.
Honest conversation.
Someone just it just came upon me there. So, James, is there anything else that you want to make sure that we get out?
I don't think so. This is just like a very cathartic, honest conversation, and I hope listeners have made it this far to, you know, get to the end, because I think there can be something received from us, just we're pretty much just talking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a very honest conversation. I had nothing else to add to it.
Me neither. So that'll be that. Y'all, that is it. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate it. Okay, can you review it? Do you have a sentence or two to share with me? I would really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And subscribe so that you don't miss any. I'll see y'all next time.